Are we on a slippery slope to tyranny?
The next step in this process is going to be that people who are supporters of Donald Trump or just conservatives complaining about this are going to begin to get labeled as potential insurrectionists and are going to begin to get harassed by law enforcement. That's the next step in this playbook, sadly.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with longtime ministry friend Bill Koenig. He has served in the White House press corps for 2 decades, and his insights into national and global events are second to none. Jan and Bill cover numerous topics this hour that will give you insight you will find in few places. Here is today's programming.
When you think about the last 12 months, Tim,
oh my.
When you think about what has happened the last 12 months, and the great thing about it, despite all these challenges of COVID and all the political fighting, this has been God's revelation to us of things to watch. We've been hearing about one world financial order for a long time. We've been hearing about a one world currency. We've been hearing about the great World Economic Forum reset that fits that pattern. We're talking about now like the mark of the beast when you look at Revelation 13. We're moving into implants right now that will confirm whether you've taken a vaccine or not. All these things that we've been writing about and reading about and hearing about for all these years, we have seen an incredible download of significant biblical final day occurrences and happenings in the last 12 months that were accelerated by this coronavirus pandemic that not only affected the United States, it's affected the entire world. And God's used that in that process to reveal to us a confirmation of things that are written of in the scriptures and what to watch for going forward.
So glad you can join me for Understanding the Times Radio today. My guest for the hour, Bill Koenig, served in the White House press corps for almost 20 years. He's an author, a conference speaker, and one of my frequent radio guests, actually going all the way back to 2002. My goodness, how time flies. Some of you get his weekly e-newsletter, Koenig's Eye View from the White House, which examines current events from a biblical perspective. And I'll say more about his books and his website throughout the program. By the way, he apprised me of something when we spoke privately here this week. I'll ask him about here in this hour, and that is this potential White House shakeup and what might be being planned even as we speak. It's really stunning, folks. It's all I can say. We live in interesting times. On certain days, they're almost too interesting. Also, let me just insert a few brief comments here, as this is the first opportunity I have had to comment on Mr. Biden's very bizarre speech of about 10 days ago now. Last weekend, we aired a repeat program, so I could not comment in a timely manner. And I'm going to say that the whole presentation had the aura of something out of a third world authoritarian government, complete with a puppet prop, which he is. Its message was perhaps unity, but at the price of submission to the regime, submission to a tyrant who was reading lines he likely didn't write. Rather, someone in the form of our shadow government scripted the words. Behind Biden was artwork and imagery appearing to represent an entrance into hell itself. With utter scorn, Mr. Biden denigrated half of America, a half who are patriotic Americans, many of them evangelical Christians who hold values the left denigrates, mocks, scorns, and ridicules, but the values are Bible-based. So the optics of Mr. Biden's speech were more like a Berlin rally in 1939 than a speech delivered at the birthplace of the American Republic. The blood-red lighting was unsettling and it was dystopian. Again, the rhetoric he deployed in that speech was more vicious, more threatening, and more intimidating than anything he or his administration has ever said against Vladimir Putin, the Taliban, ISIS, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, the drug cartels, and Communist China's genocidal dictators. In his mind, conservative and Christian Americans are a greater threat. Let that sink in. I'll say no more this hour. We don't want to dwell on this. It's not productive at this point. Let me get right to Bill Koenig. Bill Koenig, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Great to be with you, Jan.
Bill, you have had a firsthand witness, really, to 4 administrations, starting with George W. Bush. The world is different than when you started in that press corps in about 2000. And the world is much more dangerous. It's much more wicked. It's much more corrupt. But what are your observations here over the last 20 years?
When I started at the White House in 2001, when George W. Bush was inaugurated, most of the mainstream media despised conservatives. They didn't like Ronald Reagan. They didn't like Bush. And we've certainly seen what they've done with Donald Trump. They are always looking for something to dig into. Any kind of conservative, especially as a Christian president, they're going to look for something that they can do to discredit the conservatives, discredit the Christians. And it developed at that point. We didn't have the social networks in place in a significant way yet. The big thing that the White House media focused on at that time was this terrible war that George Bush and Dick Cheney had got our country into after 9/11. So I've seen a more contentious media. George Bush would do everything he could to be a Christian president, be one that people could look up to. Unfortunately, the wars, the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan were very problematic to him. And unfortunately, through my book, Eye to Eye, I also watched closely when he began to get involved in the Land for Peace process. Yeah. Things became more and more challenging for him. Over the last 20 years, Jan, I can't believe the media today of America. 90 to 95% are doing the bidding of the Democratic Party. That's their focus. They aren't journalists. They don't want both sides. They want one side. When it comes to a conservative voice, they want to do everything they can to discredit conservative thought, chastise conservative leaders. With the internet expanding like it has, and with the use of the social networks, the Democratic Party has a part of them that is a very challenging entity that we have to face on a day-to-day basis, right, as conservatives, Christians.
You apprised me of possible White House shakeups. Actually, I read about it in your e-newsletter. And folks, you can sign up for that weekly e-newsletter. It's very inexpensive, particularly compared to what you're getting each week. You can sign up at watch.org, W-A-T-C-H, watch.org. But you apprised me, and your newsletter apprised me of this possible White House shakeup. Please speak into it, because they're suggesting, and I don't know how public this is, that Mr. Biden may step down and California's Governor Gavin Newsom step in, replace him. They would replace Vice President Harris. The Senate must approve all of this, which, as we speak, can happen, unless there's a big shakeup, of course, in the November election. Talk to me about this for just a moment, please.
I was in Washington, D.C. in July, Jan, and spoke to a very connected person. And the scenario was that Harris would step down as vice president. Biden would select Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, to be his new vice president. And at some point in the future, he would conceptually step down due to health concerns, something along that line, which we're watching pretty much every week happen. Mm-hmm. And Gavin Newsom would become president, and then he would have to select a vice president. All it takes for a president to nominate a vice president is a 51 vote in the Senate. So I've talked to Democrats and Republicans about this. Kind of shocks them. At the same time, they believe it's very plausible.
Okay. And obviously, they're running out of time if they want to make some major change before the election, November 8th. Do you have any idea where you think this will go?
There's so much going on. With all the 20-plus years I've been following the White House, Jen, I've never, ever seen the level of contentiousness, what Biden's administration and Justice Department's attempting to do to Trump. We're 69-plus days from the election, and something is going to happen. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of intensity. There's manipulation of the polls. They're doing everything they can to hurt Trump and the people that Trump has basically approved to run for House seats and Senate seats. The Democrats have never had it better than they have right now. They control the House, the Senate, and the White House. They're pushing a lot of things through. Excessive spending. It's leading to inflation. We have no energy program.
Right.
And I think only the Lord knows how this is going to play out between now and November 8th.
Well, some of the legislation that is happening is very troubling. The money being spent. $500 billion here, a trillion here. I mean, absolute reckless spending. And then I have to say some totalitarianism. I want to play just a quick clip. It's going to be Curtis Bowers who analyzes, I think, some of the topics we're talking about very brilliantly. And here Curtis is talking about this tremendous invasion that's coming via the IRS, and we've seen this before, but now they've got tens of thousands of new recruits. 87,000 new IRS agents, as we speak, are being inducted to do who knows what.
They are preparing for war now by so many things that we see that they're doing. Things are collapsing around us. That's purposeful. They believe, like Lenin did, worse is better. The worse they can make things in America, the better it is for them, because they can expand government more, they can spend more, they can take more totalitarian control to control things. They love if there's riots going on. They love if there's unrest in the streets. That's a dream come true for a Marxist. But the war in America is clearly escalating. Our government is openly targeting all opposition. President Trump and so many members of his staff have been arrested recently. You see this, like, what? Putting them in leg irons, arresting them in airports and other places. It's really obvious what's going on. And I think many are waking up. That's the good news. Of course, the Inflation Reduction Act that they're putting through right now. You know, whatever the title is of any bill, its purpose is to do the exact opposite. That has been the case for decades. And we see that, whether it's an education bill or a finance bill or a reform bill in some area, you know, no, it's not reforming this. It's making it more broken, more bureaucratic, and harder to fix, because they want things to stay the way they are. But the Inflation Reduction Act, the sole purpose is to arm the other side with more power and money, like always, all the while dramatically increasing inflation. When you're struggling to pay your bills, you're not worried about much else, and they know that. Back to what I talked about at the beginning. In that bill, of course, there's the funding for 87,000 more IRS agents who are there to carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary, be willing and able to participate in arrest, execution of search warrants, and other dangerous assignments. The IRS has been buying guns and ammo by the millions of rounds. Why would they be doing that? It's a tax agency. If you didn't pay your taxes, you'd be sent a subpoena or something. Oh, we need to see your records. And then it'd be a court case. And if you were found guilty, then you would owe this amount to the IRS. You wouldn't have thugs come to your door with weapons drawn and then searching your home or taking whatever they want. I mean, you wouldn't have that. We just see that that now is going to be a bunch of thugs just there to persecute anyone that's conservative, anyone that doesn't go along with them, that's not on board with exactly what they're doing. That's all that's going to be about. It's crystal clear that's the case, and that is very disturbing.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Bill Koenig, who for 20 years served in the White House press corps. May I add, perhaps one of the few conservative voices in the press corps. You can learn more at watch.org and check out his books at that website. Revealed, Obama's Legacy, and Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel. And you can sign up for his e-newsletter as well, and I'm basing a lot of our discussion on his weekly e-newsletter. Bill Koenig, your thoughts to the clip you just heard of Curtis Bowers?
Excellent points, as always. Curtis has a great grasp of things that concern you, Jan, me, and your listening audience. I sit back some days in just total disbelief of what we have seen in the last 18 months. And we could even take it back to the day that Donald Trump became president. Here we have a president every single day prior to him taking office, and every day in office, and every day since he's out of office, this constant attack on him and his followers. The Christian conservatives, evangelicals, are very concerned about the direction of our country. I talk to friends in Europe and even Australia. They are really hoping and praying that we'll be able to do something to stand up against this tsunami of liberalism, Marxism, socialism that we're facing in our country. And from time to time, just think of what that one person loss of majority in the Senate, what that has cost our country. I think Harris has done 26 voting ties. She has, in her position as vice president, she breaks the ties in the Senate. And as you shared, the amount of money that's being thrown at this country and its massive federal debts. I think the other thing is, as Christians with our Judeo-Christian values, that they're being trampled on, especially when you have the Democrats in control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. I even heard a note a couple of days ago, we only have one congressman or senator in Washington that is pro-life. That's Henry Cuellar in Texas. It's unbelievable, Jan. But this is a battle between good and evil like never before. We're in a battle.
I think Marco Rubio gives a good warning here. He's actually on with Hannity. And the only reason I play this is, in talking to you, you are concerned about what's going to happen between now and November 8th. And they're going to release another pathogen that's going to cause more pandemic chaos and fear and isolation and closures and all the things that we've gone through for over 2 years. But this quick clip here by Marco Rubio, I think, sums up his concern and my concern, and I suspect yours as well.
One senator who is speaking out against all of this, Florida Senator Marco Rubio. Senator, you actually said about this, I found it interesting, that Joe Biden, the administration, the DOJ, the FBI are playing with fire.
Look, I'm here in a very unique position in South Florida, surrounded by people that come from countries where this is familiar to them. This is shocking to Americans. But in Latin America and many of these countries around the world, here's what happens. A group takes power. One of the first things that group does is they begin to persecute and go after their political opponents. And then when the supporters of their political opponents begin to complain about it, they begin to target them and they criminalize opposition. And that's what's happening here now. They took power. They are demanding. You see it on Twitter. You see their public statements. They are demanding. They want Donald Trump arrested. They want him charged right now. They wanted him charged months ago, years ago. They wanted him charged. And I'm telling you the next thing you're going to see here, Sean, because it's the playbook. And that is, they are now going to begin to say, oh, these Trump supporters, these Republicans, they're very upset. They're saying very angry things. We think they might be a threat. We think they're radical extremists. Let's start arresting them. The next step in this process is going to be that people who are supporters of Donald Trump or just conservatives complaining about this are going to begin to get labeled as potential insurrectionists and are going to begin to get harassed by law enforcement. That's the next step in this playbook, sadly.
Would you agree with that, Bill?
Yes. And that's the U.S. senator that gets it. And I do. I do, Jan. And we could sit here and go on for many, many minutes of the potential of things that they could do between now and the November 8th election. And I think that's what alarms us. We don't want to create fear and excess worry in your listeners, but we have so much riding on this. I can hardly wait till that election is held, and hopefully it will be held. There's a lot of things that could disrupt that. But the bottom line is, I've shared, Jan, they've never had a better opportunity than now. So through prayer, commitment, and getting to the polls, we can make a difference.
I'm quoting you here in your newsletter. The globalists and the Democrats will never have a more opportune time than now to continue to implement their Marxist reshaping of America. So they're not going to quit. They're not going to back down. They're not going to soften their approach in the least, probably just the opposite. And again, I think you and I are concerned, are we even going to have, I hate to use the term a fair election, I know that's a lightning rod term, but, or are we even going to have an election, let's say 2024, we don't know. Who knows what God has in mind for America and the world in the next couple of years, but I pray we have a very successful election.
When I was living in Virginia, there was an amazing election with Youngkin becoming the governor, Lieutenant Governor Winsom Sears. And the attorney general is also a believer. That was an incredible election. And I know some states are trying to take the Virginia template to their states, but the turnout of conservatives and Christians throughout the state, because most of Virginia is a red state, the area up around D.C. is most 65-70% blue, but it was an amazing election with a governor that's doing a lot of positive things. And he was talking just the other night on TV about how he's working so closely with his Lieutenant Governor Winsom Sears and also his Attorney General, and they are bringing optimism and hope to Virginia. So a lot of this is difficult for us to watch, especially not knowing what's going to happen between now and November 8th. But at the same time, there is optimism. And those polls were watched very carefully in Virginia during that vote. And I'm talking to a lot of people. They're going to work the polls and volunteer. We got to do everything we can. Number one, vote. Number two is participate. And number three, keep praying. Because we saw what prayer did. I mean, our church, Cornerstone Chapel, Pastor Gary Hamrick, our church in Virginia, in Leesburg, was on the front line of the Loudoun County issue and also was very close to the governor-elect. And many, many prayers were answered in Virginia. So that's a positive sign, Jan. But we know we're in a conflict and war, and we just need to keep praying for a good outcome.
I want to talk to you a little bit this hour about the coming digital currency. And I think before I do that, I'll just play one more clip. And again, it's Curtis Bowers, folks. And we've carried Curtis's DVD Agenda, Grinding America Down, where he documents the communist infiltration into America for the last 100 years. And what's going on now is exactly that. Also, he points out how the left, they want us to be fearful. They are trying their best to scare the daylights out of every conservative and out of every Christian. Don't let them succeed.
Here's something that's really important. It is us. And they're trying to make an example out of him. They know if they're able to destroy him, then Ron DeSantis would probably pop on the scene and do almost the same things. So it's not really about him. It's taking an icon, taking someone that has rallied the troops, inspired them, and trying to beat him down and destroy him publicly so that to wear a MAGA hat or have an American flag even, you're a little intimidated to do that because you see even a president that's a billionaire and has the resources, he wasn't safe from them. They destroyed him. So it's a public execution to just wreak fear in the hearts of us. When I first finished the Agenda film, Agenda Grinding America Down, it's 12 years ago now, everywhere I would go speak, people that had grown up in communist countries would come up to me afterward and hug me and kiss me and say, thank you for warning Americans about communism. And I'd say, oh, you're welcome. But I would interview them and talk with them. And so many sobering things came from those talks. But the one thing that was always crystal clear is they would even tell me, they say, Curtis, even though you've studied communism, you understand it, you understand what their goals are, what they're trying to do, you still don't understand it. And I could tell by looking in their eyes, I'd say, I don't have a clue, do I? And they go, no one in America does, because you've never had any kind of persecution like a communist country persecutes you. You've never had that fear, real fear. And one of them, Augustine, who's at the beginning of Agenda 2, talking about how he was warned that the communists were going to take over Cuba when he was a young boy, and they thought, oh, that's stupid. That's never going to happen here. But how it's happened, but he lives in America, of course, and has for 50 years now. And when we were talking about that, he said, Curtis, there, one time when I was 18 years old, just walking down the street, the police threw me into the back of a police car and took me to prison. And they made me stay there a couple days. And I said, what was prison like? And he looked at me 50 years later and just shook his head. I can't talk about that. So it's that kind of prison. I said, why'd they do that? He goes, because then when they let me go, they know I'm in total terror of them. And I will do everything they say, and I will not ever come against them any way, shape, or form. That's what the IRS is doing today. That's what the Department of Justice is doing, the FBI, the CIA. They're exposing to us how they do things. They want us to see how ruthless they are, how evil they are, how corrupt they are. They want that to be exposed to us. A lot of people go, they wouldn't do that on purpose. Of course they are. Because then you realize they are above the law. They can do whatever they want. There's never justice served. And so you're in terror of them then. Just like the KGB or something, you'd be in terror because you know they can do anything they want. They can come to your home and kill you. They can rape your wife. They can take your children and throw them in labor camps. They can do anything. And so then you just do what they say. Again, from talking to so many, I realize that's where totalitarians take you. That's where we're going right now. That's what's happening. They're doing things to let us see we should be fearful.
Bill Koenig, you want to comment on that?
The totalitarian concern has been a very significant one. Matter of fact, Dr. Robert Malone, who developed the mRNA, has been very focused on the World Economic Forum and their influence, their totalitarian plans for the world. And when he spent a lot of time in Europe meeting with health officials there and other parts of the world, he said, this is a real concern, is a totalitarian takeover of the countries of the world to comply with the World Economic Forum, which you've covered very well in the past, Jan, with this Build Back Better, which we hear New Zealand Prime Minister, an Australian Prime Minister, Canadian Prime Minister, and others, even Biden for a while would mention that Build Back Better. Well, that's a totalitarian plan of eventually taking over the world and having a small amount of people controlling the world. And we've got the battlefield as America. As I shared earlier, a lot of Christians in Europe and in Australia and other parts of the world are looking to the United States. Please, please fight this, stand up against it. And we are. The evangelical believers are saying, we want Judeo-Christian values. We saw a recent great run in Florida of like 5 or 6 major cities, school boards go conservative. So these are the battles, Jan. We are having victories.
Yeah.
Some of this like really ominous, but I think, you know, with your listening audience, we also have had some good victories. So we just got to keep standing on our Judeo-Christian principles, continue to pray, and continue to look to the Lord for our strength and guidance in these battles. That's the great thing about America. We got a lot of evangelical believers that are on the front line. Programs like yours, Jan's, it's keeping people informed that lead people to pray and lead people to activism to the best we can and stay occupied till the Lord returns.
Here's what I want to do in part 2 of my programming. I want to talk to you, at least for a few minutes, on the coming digital currency. You write about it. I'll even read a paragraph or two from your newsletter. And this is going to change the way every American banks does their accounting, etc., when in fact this is implemented, which could be as soon as December, more than likely early in 2023. I want to talk to you about that. I also want to talk to you about the fact that you've made this statement a lot, Bill, that we've grabbed onto, and that is we live in the most significant time, probably in the history of the world, with the least amount of interest in the church today about the issues that we talk about. So I do want to talk to you about that. And also that there are over 100 million church attendees, members in churches, that are replacement theology and that believe the church is Israel and cannot possibly understand our times or anything we're talking about this hour. We'll do that in part 2. I'm coming back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In the age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries. If you are a believer, you have a destination with a 1,000-year time period known as the millennium. King Jesus will sit on his throne in Jerusalem. The lion will lay down by the lamb. There will be no war. Nature will be at peace. And the planet will be perfectly restored from the terrible 7-year tribulation. There are hundreds of details about this time period given in the Bible. Learn about this glorious time from 2 new products we carry by Bill Salas. We carry both his book and his DVD, The Millennium Prophecies and the New Jerusalem. You may purchase one item or both. Find the products in our online store, in our print and e-newsletter, or by calling our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. The DVD is just $10 and the book is $15. We charge no shipping in the U.S. and Canada. Check out the Millennium Prophecies and the New Jerusalem today and better understand the 1,000 years on earth you will dwell in. This is the time that precedes the new heavens and the new earth.
We are literally living in the most important time in Bible prophecy history. Soon seeing our Messiah, not sure of the day or hour, but all the signs about us, all the markers that the Lord has put in this Old Testament through the Jewish prophets and Jesus in Revelation are happening right now.
We know you can't always be by a radio. You can always listen and watch Understanding the Times Radio at your leisure on our website, olivetreeviews.org, then to radio. You can watch the video on our YouTube channel, Rumble channel, on our various social media, on Light Source, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here are Jan Markell and Bill Koenig to wrap up an informative hour.
2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the last days. And I feel as though the theme of the chapter is captured in the first verse. Because the Bible says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days." The Amplified translation says, "But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come, difficult days that will be hard to bear." As you read through the chapter, several things become clear. In the last days, there is a total rejection of God in this world. Anything the Word of God stands for will be rejected. There will be a time when people will want to have their ears tickled. They will want a gospel that gives the blessing but doesn't require repentance. They want a gospel that preaches prosperity instead of sacrificial living. And there's a lot of this now. A lot of people prefer to have their ears tickled instead of receiving the pure gospel that will penetrate the heart and challenge every sinful behavior in your life. Now, to add to the corruption that will be in the world, 2 Timothy 3 tells us that there will be a total breakdown of society because people will be treacherous, rash, slanderous, brutal, disobedient to parents, abusive, and without self-control. No rules, no moral absolutes, no restraints of any kind. Everyone will do that which is right in their own eyes, and woe to the person who dares to question anyone else's lifestyle choices.
Welcome back. Glad you can be a part of Understanding the Times Radio today. Quick heads up. We do have an Understanding the Times evening coming up Thursday, October the 6th. That'd be in a suburb of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Check my website under events. We'll be featuring Pastor Billy Crone that night at Revive Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. No cost. It's live streamed to the world. MarkHenryMinistries.com. MarkHenryMinistries.com. Do you think we'll have anything to talk about with Pastor Crone? Indeed, we will. So much I probably won't even know where to begin. Thursday, October the 6th, in a suburb of Minneapolis, live stream at MarkHenryMinistries.com. We've had over a year of these events, and about 1.5 million have watched online in that last year. And also, we continue to have scamming going on our YouTube channel. At least 500 of our videos have been stolen. They're altering them. So look for the subscribers for the Olive Tree channel. About 170,000 subscribers. That is our channel, and you can trust it. And also on Rumble and his channel, our website. Now, I want to move quickly into part two here with my very special guest, Bill Koenig, who served in the White House Press Corps for 20 years. Bill, in your e-newsletter, again, that's Koenig's Eye View from the White House. Sign up at watch.org. You write, let me read just 3 short paragraphs, Bill. It's about the coming digital currency, and this is one of your areas of expertise, which is why I'm raising it. You write, "Great concerns remain over the future of digital currencies being used by the powers to be. We know the Federal Reserve has been studying implementation for at least 2 years. The Fed has been pitching that a Fed coin is needed to compete with the Chinese." You write, "Moreover, there have been recent internet rumors that Joe Biden has signed an executive order that will implement a digital currency in the U.S. According to the Associated Press, Biden did sign Executive Order 14067, March 22nd, titled Ensuring Responsible Development of Digital Assets. It calls for government agencies to look at the risks and benefits of digital currencies." I'll wind this down, and you write this, Bill. "According to the Catherine Austin Fitz interview we posted January 2021, quote, we are in a period of great change and uncertainty where the central bankers are trying to keep the dollar system going, lengthen the dollar system, and accelerate bringing in the new system, trying to bring in new system without anyone realizing it. They are testing the new system, which will be transactional system that is all digital, essentially ending currencies as we know them." And then you conclude, "You were in Washington in July. You were told a rumor that there is likelihood of the digital currency being put into place by the second quarter of 2023, there remains much concern that the powers in control could shut off and/or restrict the use of the digital currencies if a person didn't comply with the federal overseers. We will continue to monitor this very closely. Bill Koenig, this involves every one of my listeners who suddenly could have a whole different banking system sometime early in 2023. Help us understand.
Catherine Austin Fitz has a great handle on this. I've been following some of her writings for over a year and a half. And she, a former Wall Streeter, she worked for President George Herbert Walker Bush at HUD. And she has been concerned that the globalists, he calls them Mr. Global, have used events like 9/11, the Patriot Act, then the coronavirus pandemic to implement the infrastructure that would lead to a digital currency. The point that she makes is that globalists are watching China. They're watching their implementation of the plan. There's also a social credit score where each person has a certain level of rating. If you become problematic, you could have your money shut off if it's part of a federal system. That, or it could restrict your purchases to just food and pharmacy. That's the greatest concern about a digital currency, is eventually using that to affect our freedom of speech and our actions. Of course, everything is always based on, oh, your money will be more secure, this will be more convenient, even moving to the eventual mark of the beast, you won't have to carry a wallet, everything will be inside your implant. Right now, it's in your iPhones, Google phones. This is something that's being watched. It's a control apparatus. I heard that earlier this year, the central bankers had a meeting in Europe, and they're working on a consolidation of a future digital currency for the world. And I think Catherine Austin Fitz emphasized the fact that they want to do this behind the scenes where no one really knows what's going on, and then one day it will be quickly implemented. That was another rumor I heard in D.C. when I was there in July, that second quarter 2023, it might be in place. We're keeping a close eye on it, even trying to get into some of the tech people that possibly are going to be working on it.
Economist Jim Rickards, he calls this whole effort here Biden Bucks, and he calls this the most treasonous act in U.S. history, and the creation of central bank digital currencies, or CBDC. And folks, you know, I have told you to get acquainted with CBDC, central bank digital currencies. Rickards calls this communism in its purest form and encourages Americans to stay awake. He points to a date, December 13th, as a target date. We'll see. Rickards is an economist, investor, former CIA official, who's calling it a step towards the end of cash, the greenback in circulation since the founding fathers. The new digital tokens can be turned off if the government doesn't like what you are doing. Again, Rickards has four decades of experience on Wall Street. Folks, you know I've talked about this both on air at our bi-monthly meetings that I just give you a promo for. So we're all very, very concerned about this. I'm going to move on, Bill, unless you have another comment.
Thank you, Jan. No, you all have done such a great job of covering this for quite a while, and this is something we all need to be watching carefully. Through your program, through our website, we're going to be on top of this.
Talking to Bill Koenig for the hour. You can learn more at his website, watch.org, watch as in watchman, watch.org. Check out his books that he offers there. Check out his weekly e-newsletter, Koenig's Eye View, from the White House. Bill spent 20 years in the White House, and I can guarantee you he has some of the most fascinating insights you will ever hear. I want to move on quickly to hit a couple of huge topics. I'm going to play a little dialogue between you and Lamb and Lion's Tim Moore. You are spelling out a problem, quite frankly, I've been aware of for about 20 years. Not necessarily everyone in my audience is aware of this. Again, folks, you've heard me talk about replacement theology and the number of denominations that believe that the church is the new Israel, God's finished with Israel. They are not teaching a thing about Israel, past, present, future, when in fact Israel is the key to everything that's going on in our generation. This is Tim Moore, Lamb and Lion, talking to Bill Koenig, and I want to come back and talk about it.
Many churches today preach some form of replacement theology, the idea that God's promises to the Jewish people have been transferred to the largely Gentile church, and that certainly there is no prophetic provision for a Jewish state called Israel. How would you respond to that thinking within the church itself?
What's so amazing is there's probably, and this is the Lord put my heart in 2004, is add up the membership of the Replacement Theology Church. That's 100 million members in 2004. It's probably similar to that today. There's 100 million American church attendees that attend Replacement Theology churches that have no biblical understanding because they don't study prophecy. They believe it's allegorical and literal. It goes all the way back to 2nd, 3rd centuries, Origen, Clement, and the influence in Constantine, Augustine, Martin Luther, John Wesley, John Calvin, great men of the faith, but they believe that Bible prophecy is not relevant. So today we have a large percentage of people that attend church in America that have no biblical understanding of the significance of what's taking place in Israel now. That's why we as evangelicals that study Genesis to Revelation have a really good understanding that these are incredibly significant biblical times.
I certainly agree with you, absolutely. And I would observe that this dangerous tendency of American churches in general to tolerate or even embrace a form of replacement theology is basically a symptom of their dismissal of God's prophetic word. And too often, even in evangelical churches, the prophetic word is minimized. I hear from people all the time who say, we never have messages or teaching about Revelation or about some of the prophecies that seem to be fulfilled right in our own day and age. And so you mentioned already there are approximately 100 million American church members who have little understanding of Bible prophecy.
Bill Koenig, so many of the churches today, not all, and you've referenced Pastor Hamrick in Virginia and, of course, Jack Hibbs and some others that are telling the truth to everybody, but too many of our churches emphasizing your best life now and leaving out this most important issue you just had a dialogue with Tim Moore about.
Two things here. One, as you mentioned earlier, we are literally living in the most important time in Bible prophecy history. Soon seeing our Messiah, not sure of the day or hour, but all the signs about us, all the markers that the Lord has put in this Old Testament through the Jewish prophets and Jesus in Revelation are happening right now. We have 100 million people that attend church in America that have no biblical understanding of this. And worldwide, almost 1 billion people that attend churches that don't understand the biblical significance of the state of Israel, God's redemptive plan for the nation of Israel and entire world in which we live.
Could this be a part of the great falling away, the great end time apostasy?
I believe so, because when these things play out at an even more intense pace, apostasy, men's hearts failing, not knowing where to turn to. I thought in some ways the coronavirus would have a greater impact on our population. I know a lot of people came to Christ through it, just like what happened right after 9/11. But the U.S. government and the Federal Reserve threw so much money at this problem that people started buying homes with 2.5% interest rate and having a lot of money sent to them through the government. We kind of worked our way through what could have been a potentially more difficult period of time. But if we have more droughts, food shortages, more energy crisis, and these calculated plans of the globalist, we could move into a time where more people are going to say, what is going on? Please help me understand. And that's the opportunity. I mentioned to you, I started a new website, reach1billion.com. And the purpose of that website is to show people the biblical significance of the times we're living in from the scriptures. We're just getting ready, just like you are, Jen, for that time when people are going to say, these are not normal times, help me better understand, and we'll point them to the scriptures.
That's reach1billion.com, reach1billion.com. That's up and running now, correct, Bill?
Yes, it is.
Bill, in the interest of time, I'm moving ahead here to hit another topic. Again, back in 2014-15, this insane Iranian deal was put together. Donald Trump put an end to it. Now the same players are back on the playing field, bringing back to life this living nightmare, this Iranian nuclear agreement. I'm going to play a couple-minute clip here. It's Benjamin Netanyahu. He's hoping he will be reelected this fall in Israel. He's sounding an alarm to the world, which he has done now for 6, 7, 8 years.
Let's bring in Benjamin Netanyahu on a different note. He's the former prime minister and maybe future prime minister of Israel. Mr. Prime Minister, great to see you. I know as you are very familiar with American politics and American issues, and immigration means a lot. But I know first and foremost, you're as concerned as many other clear-thinking people about the deal we're about to re-enter with Iran on this nuclear proliferation. Could you tell me what your greatest concern is at this hour?
I think this is a horrible deal. a dangerous deal that will pave Iran's path with gold, a golden paved highway to a nuclear arsenal. If Iran has nuclear weapons, they don't merely threaten my country, Israel, or the entire Middle East and America's allies. They threaten you directly, because simultaneously with developing nuclear weapons, they're developing the means to deliver them across continents. So you could have an Iran governed by these fanatic Ayatollahs who will hold every American city hostage to nuclear weapons. I think this is a threat to the peace of the world, and that's what this horrible deal facilitates. It's even worse than the first one.
Why? Why is it worse?
Well, because President Obama, in a moment of candor, said in a PBS interview in 2015 that by 2027, that's 5 years from now, Iran will have a breakout time to a bomb that is near zero. That's his words, not mine. And he was right. This deal is much closer to that time frame, and it gives Iran, right now, within 2 years, they can develop, within 4 years, starting 2 years from now, they can develop added enrichment capacity of uranium, 3,500 advanced centrifuges that each is 10 to 20 times stronger and more effective than the centrifuges that they have. They have about 5,000. So you're adding an enormous capacity to enrich uranium. That's the critical element of making nuclear bombs. The deal gives it to them. It gives them, right now, hundreds of billions of dollars, and by the end of the agreement, $1 trillion to pursue their terror and aggression against everyone, against you and against us. This is what the deal gives them. What does it ask of them? Nothing. It doesn't ask of them to change their behavior, to stop terror, to stop calling for the destruction of Israel, to stop bombing the neighborhood countries like Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states. It doesn't ask of them anything. It doesn't stop their development of ballistic missiles. It doesn't even guarantee that their sites will be inspected. This is a deal that gives them everything to threaten all of us and gives nothing to us in return.
Bill Koenig, this seems to me to be the ultimate in end time strong delusion. I want you to comment on that. And also, Mr. Biden's rather catastrophic trip to Israel. Now, this was a month or two ago, and the fallout that happened there.
What is happening is we have a president that is desperate to do a deal. He was part of the Obama administration. This is a disaster. Former Prime Minister Bennett said that $250 billion are going to be made available to Iran through sanction relief and capital. It is one of those times that the world energy costs are excessive. What Biden has done, he's begged OPEC. Previous to the Russia-Ukraine war, he was begging Russia to produce more oil when we have it right here in the United States. But he didn't do that because of the green agenda. On his mid-July trip to Israel to meet with the Israelis, the Palestinians, and then go to Saudi Arabia and meet with the Sunni oil-producing countries of the Middle East, it was a disaster. It was so bad that the Egyptians and the United Arab Emirates leaders went to Tehran the following week, reopened their embassies, and reestablished relationships. And then what also happened is Erdogan of Turkey and Putin of Russia were in Tehran 72 hours after Biden left Saudi Arabia for the United States to meet with the leadership, Khamenei, and the president of Iran. It's been a disaster. Unfortunately, our allies in the Middle East don't trust him after Afghanistan, and the enemies of this administration do not fear him. And this deal is a tragedy, and no one knows it better than Benjamin Netanyahu.
Is there a chance he could be reelected to Israeli leadership this fall?
There is a good possibility for one specific reason. 75 to 80% of Israelis would prefer having Benjamin Netanyahu as prime minister of Israel at a time of potential conflict with Iran.
Bill, are we going to wake up some morning here in the near future, and I mean near future, with a headline, Israel strikes Iran?
Well, I thought that, Jan, and I was at a briefing recently from a former Trump official. He answered one of the Jewish members. He's an attorney in the audience. He said that Israel's chances of defense are responding to Iran right now are being minimalized because of the deployment of Iranian missiles in Yemen, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon. And according to another briefing I was on recently, there are now 15,000 missiles on Israel's northern border and 150,000 rockets, and the missiles are much more dangerous. And as well as Netanyahu and others have alluded, Iran now has missile capability to hit any portion of the Middle East as well as Europe. And they're working on ICBM to eventually put the United States at risk. There's a lot of calculation right now, but Israel at some point, we know there's a red line, Jan. We don't know when that is, but Israel and their leadership needs to take this very serious. And there's a concern in the previous government with Netanyahu, the prime minister, his Secretary of Defense, Gantz, and other members of his cabinet were not as committed to dealing with the Iran threat as Netanyahu. And we continue to look at Jeremiah 49, 35 through 39, and also the eventual Gog-Magog war of Ezekiel 37 and 38 and 39. We're rapidly moving into that period of time. Don't know the timing, but we're definitely moving in that direction.
You have been a watchman on the wall as it concerns America's treatment of Israel. Obviously, one of your books, Eye to Eye, Facing the Consequences of Dividing Israel, documents what happens when America intervenes with the boundaries of God's covenant land. And I heard you on an interview, happened to be with Pastor Tom Hughes, giving the story, and I'm running terribly short on time, but I think we should mention it anyway. And this goes back to January of 2020. You know, life in America was, if I can say, was rather normal. I mean, it was a challenge. We had President Trump as our leader, and COVID hadn't hit the scene yet. It was going to, in a matter of days to weeks. And then came that infamous meeting, January 28th, 2020. And you take it from there, Bill. I'm down to about 3 minutes, but I think this is worthy of that time.
President Trump did more for Israel than all previous U.S. presidents combined. And I had the privilege of interviewing Ambassador Friedman, our U.S. ambassador to Israel, for the Jerusalem prayer breakfast in early June. I mentioned that in the presentation and in the interview, but I also wanted to emphasize we've never had an ambassador like David Friedman to Israel. He was extraordinary. And for the 15 or 20 things that President Trump did, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, getting out of the Iran nuclear deal, acknowledging Israel's sovereign right to the Golan Heights, telling the international community that if you continue to isolate Israel at the International Criminal Court, you're going to be dealing with us also. And even Secretary Pompeo stating that the Israeli settlements are not illegal according to the San Remo Agreement of 1920, that's still on the books. And I wrote a commentary, Life in America Before January 28th, when God's favor was on President Trump, and life after January 28th was dramatically different. January 28th, the Kushner plan that he developed for President Trump was delivered. It had a map with it, and it was going to superimpose the boundaries of Genesis 15:18. And it was going to call for a future Palestinian state. Whether the Palestinians met it or not, it was in writing and a map was being developed. And that afternoon, Peter Navarro got into a heated discussion with Fauci and Azar and Mulvaney, the chief of staff, saying, we have a coronavirus problem. We need to do something now. Close the borders to China. Look into closing the borders to Europe. We got a big problem. They did. They laughed him off. And the next day, Navarro put a memo together saying, this is going to cost 1 million Americans' lives and cost us $3.5 trillion unless you take this coronavirus serious. Within 24 to 48 hours, the entire international community all established their plan. We had the Trump plan on January 28th and the international plan on January 29th and 30th, when leaders from around the world all said, no, we have our two-state plan and we also have the UN resolutions that we comply to. 7 weeks later, we had 3 billion people in lockdown throughout the world.
So there are consequences when we try to divide the land of Israel, is your point, right?
Absolutely, as well as the Abraham Accords. When Hurricane Sally, the Hebrew of Sally is Sarah, when Hurricane Sarah was sending massive waves into the southern Gulf Coast on September 15, 2020, when the Abraham Accords was being signed at the White House.
Well, again, folks, you can be on the cutting edge. I encourage you to sign up for Bill's weekly e-newsletter, Koenig's Eye View from the White House. You do that at his website, watch.org, and check out the books he's written, which are promoted there at the website as well. Folks, this hour has not been designed to scare anybody. We certainly are trying to prepare you, not scare you. Prepare you for the fact that, again, I have played a little clip introducing 2 Timothy 3, that in fact perilous times are here. I'm so thankful we have some people who are acting as watchmen, as is my guest Bill Koenig, and trying to interpret the times for us. I'm going to go out of the program. And Bill Koenig, thank you for giving up the hour today. Appreciate it so much, and all that you do appreciate as well.
Thank you, Jan.
You've heard me use this little outro, I call it, on multiple occasions. And I hope it encourages you each time that I use it. It's when the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm. The stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, he is never late. He's always right on time, and his plan for you is good. If you think of nothing else the rest of the day, the rest of the week, would you please keep in mind that his plan for you is always good. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We encourage you to always look up and not around if you are to remain hopeful. Events foretold in the Bible are casting a shadow on the church age daily. We can run from reality or recognize that God is allowing these events to take place so that everything will fall into place.